I am very good this morning.
Well, I hope so.
How was your Easter Sunday?
Quiet. Yeah, it was very quiet, but, you know, we went to church early, and then just our family, most of the family, in fact, all of our children right now are in Central Coast, California. Yeah, our three kids and four grandchildren. They're all there, but which we were there for, you know, a couple months.
Sure.
So we contacted them and got some beautiful pictures.
Do you FaceTime? Do you chat with them?
Right. We were together in spirit, whatever exactly that means.
Me too. It was the first time that my daughter wasn't home. She had to stay at school.
Now, where is she going to school yet?
Nebraska.
I thought so. Okay.
Nebraska. And because she's on the cheer team, competitive cheer team, they have nationals coming up next week. And so that close to nationals, they still had practice every day.
And where will nationals be?
Daytona Beach.
Now, is that where it has been before? Same place in Florida?
Yeah, and they do it out there on the beach. It's all set up like on this big stage and stuff.
You're going to be there?
You better believe it. I'm going to be there. I can't wait to see it. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming. Yeah.
Talking about a long time coming. Beautiful lead-in, Millie. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't believe...
I love it when I help you out.
Well, I like it when you help me out, too. This is going to be the last show on this theme. We've been together now, and I can't even imagine.
2.5 years.
Yeah, 2.5 years. I can't even imagine doing this without you. You've just been...
Well, thanks.
So great. Your comments, your grasp, staying with me. We sort of tracked together. I don't want to get all emotional here, but I just thank you. And we've been talking about various aspects of relationships.
And I'll tell everybody, I want to share with everybody, when I first found out about this last week, you told me, last week sometime, and what I shared with you was that God gives us what we need when we need it.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get all emotional because I was going through a really difficult time in my life where spending a half an hour with you every Monday morning was such a treat. And there were so many times that you were talking like straight to me. I mean, we were sitting in the same room, and I know that you were speaking to a host of others, but it was that the message is what I needed to hear. So I'm very thankful for God putting you in my life for 2.5 years and getting to share this time with you every Monday.
You get me emotional. Thank you. We're going to, let's just have a, BFF moment.
now you're going to, you're moving on to different things.
Yeah, I am. I have a couple of passions in my life, and I've been at this a long time.
Yeah.
Mine is a very slow to develop story. First of all, because I'm kind of stubborn.
Okay.
Yeah, and good slow to get things, and, you know, sometimes the old 2x4 has been required, although it's been my experience that what God wants is to touch us with a feather. Really?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think in a love relationship you would want the person to understand you enough so you don't have to beat them over the head to get the main idea? Like, as they say,
right.
Say something with your soft voice rather than your loud voice. I think the same thing pertains to God. And Jesus, you know, in John 15, right after he said, greater love has no one than this to lay down their life for their friends, he says to his disciples, which is so poignant because you know what's going to happen. I mean, they're going to abandon him, and he's going to be crucified. We just got through with Holy Week. Mm-hmm. He said, you are my friends. You are my friends because you know what I'm about. And then he says, which has always haunted me, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And so maybe that's what God does to us. God chooses us. Well, so back to what I'm saying. I have been about relationships. That's been my fascination. And I guess my ultimate fascination is with love. Whatever else life is about, it's a love story.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know, and at the end of that love story, the thing we're going to look at as before we die, the thing that's going to be most important to us. The thing, I was talking to someone just the other day who's aging like me and has done some things like all of us and talked about, you know, what matters most really are the relationships. And that's the thing I think you can take with you. So I tell people, you can't take money with you. You can't take possessions with you. You can't take all the wonderful things you can hopefully get and attain, and achievements and accomplishments and all the bravos you've received. What you can take with you is love. So just think about that a minute, if it's true what I'm saying. So, Millie, our love relationships with family and friends and so forth, hopefully we are enriched so that we get to take those with us. And what that means is loved ones who precede us will be waiting for us.
Right.
And so we don't lose love. Love is never lost. I think, you know, they say, I don't know if it's true or not, I still think it's put forward in science that matter is neither created nor destroyed. That's kind of a fascinating concept.
Right.
Yeah. So it may change, right? Like water, ice, mist, right. Air,
snow.
But it's still H2O.
Right.
And so love is of God. I take that seriously. And love is God. That's repeated twice in 1 John 4. God is love. God is love. I love the equation thing there. So, therefore, if God is love, when you love another, you can make it a verb and say, I God you. Really?
Right.
It may kind of be a weird way to put something. But if you just take that seriously, what it would mean is, okay, if something is not of love, is it not of God?
Wow, that's a deep one.
That is a deep one. Conversely, if something is of love, is it necessarily of God? If it's real love, yes. Mm-hmm. So we could take that in directions that get some people very uncomfortable.
Yes.
Yes. But I just want to say, if people love each other and it's true and it's real, I have to say it's of God. I can't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been fascinated with with love beginning as a kid in the streets of Brooklyn, New York. I don't know if it's true, but my memory is I kind of was born with this love of life and of people.
Right.
I was, even as a kid in the streets of Brooklyn, New York in the 40s and early 50s, I would stop people on the street and talk to them. I didn't have any fear. I just had this fascination with love.
Mm-hmm.
And it would evolve lifelong. So I went into philosophy first, then into psychology, and then had an encounter with God, who is love, and experienced what you can't describe here. In fact, I wrote this morning, I love these little one-liners, right?
Uh-huh.
God is God's own universe.
God is God's own universe.
That's kind of heavy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, in other words, you could make the case, and I will in a show that I'm going to be starting, which I'll be talking about soon, because I'm going to talk about God, which has been my life's passion since since May of 1967, when I wanted to decide if there was a God or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What made you question if there was a God or not?
Well, because I couldn't see God, you know. Does God exist? And I was a philosophy major at Drake University, and I remember, I was an agnostic, but I was really curious, can you prove or disprove the existence of God logically?
Mm-hmm.
And the end result is no.
Hmm.
You can't prove something. However, failure to prove an argument does not mean its opposite is true.
What about, I don't know, I'm probably opening a can of worms, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Let's talk.
Just because, you know, because of Holy Week and Easter, and, you know, I saw this thing on Facebook. It was, and I forget the guy's name. I could find it for you if you want me to.
Mm-hmm.
But he was trying to prove that the existence of Jesus was not real, because he was an atheist. His wife had become a Christian, and he was like, all concerned, you know, like she's going to, you know, require him to do So he set out to prove her wrong.
Uh-huh.
And what he proved was the opposite.
To himself. Jesus is a real figure. There are other documents, Josephus and so forth, who talk about Jesus. And there's no way to account for what happened to his disciples and how the early church was formed. He used to be a psychologist. You can't account for the psychological 180-degree turn from these people that they gave their lives for this. Something happened.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, God does not exist. This gets heavy, but I could talk about the Middle Ages. Okay, God does not exist here in the sense that you and I exist.
Right.
God does not have a body. God is spirit. God is love.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been said that God exists, but not with existence. Let me make that simpler.
Please do.
Because modern physics recognizes that there are parallel or alternative or multiple universes.
Okay.
Okay, finally they got around to realizing that.
Sure.
There's also something called a thin space. And you probably had those moments in your life where you just had a sense of the presence. Or that God had acted or was acting. Or something was, quote, a God thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I first encountered God in the basement of a Catholic church, November 17th, 1967, at the beginning of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, when I went in, I heard about a prayer meeting, and a friend and I went to it just to see, because they were talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was getting a master's degree at Drake University in psychology and behavioral science.
Mm-hmm.
I had a bachelor's in philosophy, but I was now seeking God. I decided if there really was a God, I could encounter God, or there was no God.
Okay.
You know, I'm a person. I do too, and people. And others have reported encounters, and so the one thing I took, I had some experience, you know, raised a little bit in the church, but not much, was Jesus said, "Ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened." And so that was my focal point in my turn. I'm asking, I'm seeking, I'm knocking. And if this guy Jesus is the real deal, I will encounter God. Mm-hmm. I'm like a Thomas, right? The doubter.
Sure.
Who said, I'm not going to, after the disciples said, "He's here, we saw him." Yeah, well, I'm not going to believe unless I can put my finger in the hole and boom, boom, boom. And then Jesus showed himself. And John 20:28, the very first Christian affirmation of faith. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." He got it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Jesus said, "Well, yeah, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who do not see yet believe," which does not mean, as some people assume, that you're not supposed to ask, that you're penalized for being a doubter. Quite the opposite. You know, there's two kinds of doubt. At least. There's the doubt, Millie, that makes you turn and walk away.
Sure.
"Well, heck with that stuff." But then there's the doubt that I had that makes me seek.
Right.
Did I close the window? Well, I doubt it, but I better go check.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Did I lock the car? Whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so what happened, it was 1:30 in the morning, and I was praying for someone else to receive whatever this was, if there was a God, and if there was this Holy Spirit. This was a nice young woman who was kneeling with her eyes closed, and, "Oh, God, please, please." Well, let's take a break, and then I'll tell you what happened.
I know. I was.
Hang on, folks.
Hold on.
KWPC, your radio station.
One car, two car, three car, four. Curry's is the place for your car and more. Your search for new tires begins and ends with Curry's Auto Incorporated. Curry's carries Firestone, Bridgestone, Goodyear, and all other major brands. Shop for new tires at Curry's Auto Incorporated, 3015 Mittman Road, Muscatine. Five car, six car, seven car, eight. Curry's can make your car run great.
Make sure you tune in the last Tuesday of every month to get top-notch real estate advice from Anna Mack, one of Muscatine's top real estate agents. Anna Mack will be able to answer all the questions you might have before buying your new home. And make sure when you're looking for that dream home to give Anna Mack a call at Pearl City, Iowa Realty, 263-0433.
I'm a veteran.
I'm a city boy.
I am a small town girl.
I'm a builder.
I'm a volunteer.
I am a mentor.
I am a teacher.
I'm a kid.
I'm a kid at heart.
I'm an Iowan.
I'm a banker.
I am an Iowa banker.
No matter who you are, there is an Iowa banker who is ready to help you get where you want to go. Get to know a real Iowa banker and discover the genuine difference of Iowa banks.
We're back with Dr. Hal Green on The Voice of Muscatine. Bring us your questions or share your thoughts with the good doctor by calling 563-263-8600. Phone lines are open and we'd love to hear from you. You're listening to Relationships with Dr. Hal Green on AM 860 KWPC.
All right, Dr. Hal
Green. We're back. Okay, here it was, a dark and stormy night in Des Moines, Iowa, November 17th, 1967. It's 1:30 in the morning, and here is an agnostic desperately seeking to know whether God exists and decides to help other people lay on hands to this young woman who was praying for this experience that I was there to see if it was real or not. So I had this little dialogue. God, if you're real, here's a nice person. Why don't you just zap her? And I got zapped. And it was like a wind, Millie, that went through my being. But not a wind of this place. Mm-hmm. It was a wind from somewhere else. Does any of that even begin to make sense? Sort of like, you know,
I don't know, are the hairs on the back of my neck supposed to be raised right now?
Well, I don't know. So it's kind of like a wind outside, you know, let's say it's from the north and it's cold and all at once it shifts. Mm-hmm. And now it's a warmer wind. Mm-hmm. We'll multiply that by factor X. Well, it changed my life.
Sure, yeah.
And it began a series of experiences and a life of being a contemplative. So how do you can't justify that. You find people who've had something like it. Mm-hmm. You read about people who lived it, and you realize, well, I'm not alone, thank heavens. But you can't prove it. Any more than you could describe or prove to a person totally blind that there's a sunset. How would you describe a sunset to someone who's never seen?
Right.
Well, it's really lovely orange-red. What's orange? What's red?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Clouds. What are clouds? Sun. Well, I feel warmth. Yeah.
Oh, I never thought about it that way.
There's no way to describe it. And actually, a couple years later... I had a dream, which was not a dream, in which I went over to this this fireplace mm-hmm. in this room, where it was kind of dark room, and there was a mantle, and then there was a beautiful smoky glass on top of the fireplace.
Okay.
Smoky, like
sure.
through a glass darkly, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Anyway, well, there was like a crack in the glass, and I just felt a little bit of the breeze. Gosh, it was just this wonderful breeze. And so I leaned toward it with my face just to get as close to that air as possible. Millie, it was God. And then I woke up.
Wow.
And I started laughing. And I'll tell you why in a second. And my wife woke up. Hal, what? I had this dream. I was in hysterics. Why? Because I realized there was absolutely no way I could prove this to anybody else.
Sure.
It was what you call your private experience that changes your life. So therefore, if you look at the fruit of it, well, something must have happened because this person is not quite the same as he or she was. Yes.
I'm going to play devil's advocate
for everyone
who's listening out
there. Good, good,
good. Why not me? Why haven't I had that experience? Why haven't I seen or felt or heard, you know?
Yeah.
Why not me?
I'm so glad you asked.
Okay.
It's very simple, because you haven't sought it with your whole being. Interesting passage, Jeremiah 29:10, where God says, if you seek me with your whole heart, I will let you find me.
Hmm.
The beginning of holiness is the hunger for God. Psalm 42, Psalm 63, the thirst, the hunger for God, which the mystics understood was actually a gift of God. So you could say, God, Give me greater hunger for you. That's a legitimate prayer, Millie.
Okay.
You know, help me to desire you with my whole being. And so I'm one of those fools that I just jumped off the cliff. I wanted to know God with my whole heart and whole being because my life had kind of broken, and I realized if there was no God, then Shakespeare was right. Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in this petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle, life's but a walking shadow. A poor player who struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard no more. It is a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. Hey, who could say it better than Shakespeare?
Right.
It's called nihilism. There's no meaning. If there was no God for me, there was no meaning. So, in other words, you know, having served, Millie, 10 churches over 37 years, close to 5,000 souls. I've had a few conversations about this very, very subject.
I would presume so.
Yeah. And it's so, in other words, I hate to say it, I'm not trying to put any onus on you or anybody else, because there was a time I didn't care whether God existed. I was too much into, you know, proving myself as a young man, athletics, girls, academics.
Right.
My calendar was full. Thank you, God. Yeah. Yeah, but then things happen. Oh, I could tell you stories of people who things happen in their lives are broken, they're humbled, and they realize, you know, like Ash Wednesday, remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return. That realization. I'm a timed being.
Right.
And anyway. So it's that, and it's also your level of preparation.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not ready to experience God, God's not going to reveal him herself.
Oh.
God's pretty kind. But I was a nut enough to be ready to handle it, I guess, because I did, and wanted more.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
No, I think what you just said there, and you wanted more, you know, that probably of all the things that you've said, I think God wants our hearts. He desires us, and he desires our heart.
Right.
And so unless you are ready to do more, give more, be more, experience more, maybe that's why.
Precisely.
Because it's not like, I'm going to come to you, and then we're done. Do you know...
Exactly. And this is an important thing. When you get there, whether you're 25 or 55, God's never going to say to you, why didn't you get here earlier? I'm really angry at you because it took you so long.
Yeah.
Oh, no. There's nothing of that in God. There's no rejection in God. Only love. Mm. That's the truth.
Yeah.
So it's our readiness. And, okay, I'm going to better tell you, I'm going to begin a new show that's going to be on Sunday mornings, I believe at 8:15, beginning Sunday, May 8th. That's going to be called What We're Doing Today, God Talk. And I guess I'm going to be the guy at this point. And it's...
You said May. Okay.
Yeah, May 8th, Sunday, May 8th, God Talk. And I want to tell you things that have happened to me, realizations I've had about God, things that I don't think most people are aware of.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I'm now writing a book, I'm halfway done, called The Heart of Jesus, The Forgotten Prophecies.
How do you know you're halfway done? I always find it interesting with authors, how each author goes about writing a book.
Okay, Well,
how do you know you're halfway done?
There are four major divisions, and I'm done with the first two, and I'm now on to the final.
I see.
Yeah. But I want to tell you, folks, what is really going on in the Bible. I'm going to explain and justify to you in simple terms in what sense the Bible is really a love story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hey, Genesis 1, God creates. Revelation 21, 20, 21, 22. What does God do? God marries God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. That's what this is, a love story leading to marriage. And that's what I'm going to explain to you, because people are not I don't think the church is necessarily preaching or understanding what salvation means. What does it mean to be saved? For what would God want to save you? What's the end game? What is actually your destiny? I'm going to explain that to you. And also, I will invite you to email me if you have questions or to text the radio station. I would love to entertain, you know, things you've always wanted to know about God but didn't know to ask.
Okay. Or we're afraid to ask.
Or afraid to ask, because guess what? I will respect your anonymity. No yes. names are going to be used. You can right. just tell me the way you really think or what you really would like me to address, and I would be happy to address it. And my email is drhalgreen@gmail.com. drhalgreen@gmail.com. So.
That's a lot of information.
Well, it's a beginning.
I was going to say, I'm excited about it, because we have, in the last 2.5 years, you know, we've touched on religion and mm-hmm. God a couple
oh, yeah.
of times,
yeah.
but we haven't really gotten to dive deep into it.
Right.
And you have so much knowledge, and you have so many experiences and so much love, I think, for people to share that people are going to tune in. People want to hear what you have to say.
Thank you, Millie. I hope so, because I really do love humanity. And, of course, I really do love God. And I feel a little like a matchmaker.
What's interesting about that is that you say those things. And here's what I want to say to the people that are listening and to folks out there is he really means them. When people aren't looking, when you think no one is noticing or it doesn't matter, you are loving on people, you are helping people, you're supporting people, and it's not about money, and it's not about furthering yourself, your career, any of that. It's literally just about loving on people.
Yeah.
So
thank
I'm
you.
Excited
yeah.
for you.
Thank you. I feel as a matchmaker, I want to bring God to people and people to God.
There you go.
And God is the groom. No, really, this is biblical.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll explain that.
Yeah.
Oh, folks, we're going to have a lot of fun. I got a lot of stuff to share you that's really going on. It's really there. It's really there. It is really there, but it's not being preached.
Mm-hmm.
Where the yeah. church is stuck in a cycle, same old, same old, same old, go through it again and again and again and again and again and again.
Right.
Which Paul did not appreciate. We have to move on to other things besides the same. I remember this great preacher in Des Moines years ago. Every time I heard him preach, well, I don't care what it was, he would go right back to the same, I want you to come to Jesus right now. The same words, the same pitch.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful, but that's only getting through the door. It's like getting married. Okay, great. You know, I'm married. Yeah. What now?
Right.
I want to talk about getting married, and then what happens after the
wedding versus the marriage. You know, everybody wants, you know, it's like, it's all about the wedding and the big wedding and the this and the.
It is.
No, it's about the marriage.
Exactly. It's about the marriage. And so it's about their relationship. That's what I'm going to tell you about. I've been dealing with the relationships here for years between persons. Now I'm going to deal with the relationship between God and us, because that is really why we are at all, as well as why we are here. Heavy stuff. Well, you know, I'm a deep sea diver, but I'm bringing up pearls.
There you go.
Okay. And my friends, thank you for listening. Please do listen to the new show beginning at 8:15 Sunday, May 8th. And in the meantime, be well, cherish your relationships, above all your God relationship, and enjoy the gift of days.
You've been listening to Relationships with Dr. Hal Green. Tune in to KWPC AM 860 each Monday morning at 9 a.m. and find out how to improve your relationships.